We're doing in Tivot Shalom and Pashat Chayei Sarah, and we're nearing the conclusion. He had addressed many of the questions he enumerated in the beginning, and now, and that which it says that Avram came to eulogize Sarah and weep over her, bechaf zeira, with a small kaf, shelo bacha leah ela me'at, kider shebuchim al azkenim, that he only wept on her smaller amount, the way people weep over someone who is old that passes away, ולא כמו שבוכים על אסון, not like we would cry over a tragedy שקורה כאשר אדם מת בחצי ימיו, that happens when a person dies when he's only reached half his life, שעמד בניסיון, that's an indication that Avram stood up to the test. Remember, he said, Avram comes back from the Akedah, and he finds his wife dead, and they tell him, you know how she died? She had just heard that you bound your son, and then she dropped dead. We said that was a test. Technically, when Sarah was born, she was supposed to die at that minute. Had nothing to do with the Akedah. But the Satan saw to it that Sarah would get word of the Akedah a moment before she drops dead. So that Avram and everyone else would think, ooh, she died because of the Akedah. So the Torah stresses that Avram didn't fall for it. When Avram came and found Sarah dead, he didn't weep like it was a tragedy. He didn't say, whoa, Sarah, you know, maybe I shouldn't have done that Akedah. Maybe I should have spoken to you more about it before I did it. No. Avram didn't fall for the trick. This was a test by the Satan. And the Torah stresses, velivkota, he wept over her the way normally people weep over an older person that passed away. They realize it's not a tragedy. This is the way of the world. That's what happened when Avram found Sarah dead. Devin Avram understood, she says, Man shaita tzichali stalek min olam, this is when she must have been meant to die. You guys hear that? I don't know, I think that's phenomenal. They tell him, you know, she dropped dead when she heard you did the Akedah. And Avram, with all his kindness, he says, without callousness, with true care, he says, well then I guess that's when she should have died. Avram doesn't doubt what he did. Avram knows this is what God told me to do. I did right. So if I did right, nothing bad could have come of it. But Sarah died. Well, then I guess this was when she was meant to die. That's Avram. Uma sheparcha nishmata, ein ze mechamat besorat ha'akedah. And that's why Avram said it must be she did not die just because she heard of the Akedah. And in the introduction to the Zohar, really, it says clearly that from the time that Avram made the party for Yitzchak, it was already declared when Sarah would die. At that party, God declared when she would die. It had nothing to do with Akedah. The Torah here is teaching a Jew, there's the Satan that stands in our way of doing mitzvot, and then there's the Satan that comes after the mitzvah and tries to cause us to question the positive which we've done in life. B'chayav shel Yehudi, in the life of a Jew, yeshnam nisyonot kodem sholech lekayem zinyan miyuchad shel mitzvah. There are the tests that precede a person's going to do some good, special mitzvah. O besul mera, or when a person is about to turn away, sheyetzara mitgaber alav, he's turning away from doing that which is bad. He's trying to get away from that which is evil. And the Yetzer Hara tries to overcome him, binyanei ta'avot, to arouse his desire, shetzich litgaber al hanisayon. And then he has to get stronger to overcome the test. Ach lo pachot me'anisayon milfaneinu. But no less than the test before we do what's right. Yeshno hanisayon la'achareinu. There is the test that is behind us. Shachar shemitgaber al yitzro, that after he overcomes his desire, mevio ha-yetzer hara shuv lidei nisayon. The Yetzer Hara tests him again. B'machshavot ka'elu shelo haya tzirich linhog kefi shenahag. He starts saying, maybe I shouldn't have done that. We once had a student that walked into class and said, Rabbi, I hope you don't mind, I'm going to have to leave in 10 minutes. So you know me, my policy is always, no problem. You want to come for 5 minutes, 10 minutes? Come whenever you want. You could come late, you could leave early. So long as you come, I'm happy. And if you don't come, I hope everything's okay. He asked one question, he asked another question, he got engrossed in the shiur, he never left. At the end of the shiur, he says to me, you know, my cell phone rang 15 times. My friends were all going to drink and party, and I feel like such a loser. I was sitting in the shir all this time. So I stood there in shock. I wasn't ready for that one. But that's this. Even after we've done something positive, the Yetzer Hara makes us feel like a loser. He says to us, wait a second, you know where you could have been? You know what they've been doing? You know what's been happening out in the town while you were there? Avraham Avinu comes back from Nakeda. He's just been at the heights of the world. He's done the greatest feat, something that the Jewish people will reap the benefits till the end of time. Every Rosh Hashanah we blow shofar because Avraham on Rosh Hashanah stood up to the test of Nakeda. So the Satan has to do something magnificent to try and get Avraham to regret what he's done. So what does he do? He takes that which is dearest. He takes his wife. He's tried with Yitzchak. Now he takes Sarah, and Sarah dies. It's not that Sarah makes it off the mountain alive. We know Sarah was supposed to die from day one. That was the time she was supposed to die. But we also know that that's not the picture that Avraham gets. That's the Satan Shirachareinu. And that's the test where the Satan tries to get us to regret what we've done right. B'machshavot, he causes us to have thoughts, kilu shelo haya tzich linhog kefi shenahag. He starts thinking, maybe I shouldn't have done what I did. Kivan shebe'etzem asa b'zeh neged ritzon Hashem. Maybe God never wanted me to do that. O misibot acherot, or for other reasons. Sometimes we see couples. We once had a guy who was dating a girl, and he thought she was the right one. And then an issue came up between them, and he's begging her to marry him, and she says, I have to think about it. And the guy was fasting. Every day he'd come and ask me what we could do about it, and I could tell he wasn't eating, and you could tell from his breath, and I'd ask him, are you fasting again? And he'd say, I can't eat, I have to fast, Hashem should help me. He spent 2 months fasting, and finally she agreed. I mean, the guy used to learn day and night. And then they got married. And after he got married, suddenly things looked the other way. And he had to fast some more to make it work. And he started asking himself, was this right? What did I get myself into? Sometimes we run forward and we're running towards what's right. But the Satan sneaks up after us and then says, wait a second. Who says God ever wanted you to do that? Maybe it was difficult for a reason. Maybe you shouldn't have taken that step. And you should know marriage is the classical example. Most people, after they're married, ask themselves this question. I would say all, but I don't like using such terminology. What do I know? I'm sure there must be an exception somewhere. But 99% of the people find themselves after marriage, maybe not the week after marriage, maybe yeah, the week after marriage, maybe a month, maybe a year, maybe 2 years, they start telling themselves, what did I do this for? And then I'll tell you a scary thought. I wouldn't be surprised if the same thing happens after gear as well. Anything that a person does that requires great determination, the nature is that afterwards he looks back and says, wait a second. And here we're learning that it's not only nature, but that the Satan takes a special interest in causing us to uproot that which we've done. If he couldn't get us not to do it, at least get us to regret it, to undo it. And to an extent, the person might think it's not fair. You know, then when's it ever over? When do I get to sit back and rest? The answer? In the grave. We weren't put in this world to rest. Life is a series of challenges. And the question is, will we take it with a smile, like Avraham did, or will we let the emotions and the whirlwind of challenges take the smile off our face? A tzaddik says in the Chovat al-Vavot, is someone whose smile is a concealment for the pain in his heart. He can smile even though in his heart he is suffering. A tzaddik is not someone who smiles because life is hunky-dory. No. Life always has its challenges. The question is, in spite of the challenges, can I smile or not? Will my face to other people be representative of my sorrows, or will the face I show the world be representative of my faith and my connection to Hashem? A tzaddik can smile. Doesn't mean he doesn't have challenges. It doesn't mean that Avraham isn't weeping over Sarah. Remember, Avraham lost a son. The first child his wife became pregnant with, finally, after years, Hagar becomes pregnant and she miscarries. And then she becomes pregnant the second time, and he has a child, and he educates him, and then his wife tells him, send the boy away. And there's internal struggle. And when God tells him, take your son that you love, what does Avram say? I love both of them. Take your singular son. Avram says, they're both singular to me. Avram had to live his life with Yishmael out in the desert, marrying Mitzri women, living the life of a bandit. He will be infamous for his looting everyone. Couldn't have been easy on Avram. Here he sets up inns to help everyone, and he has a son that everyone's talking about. He's the gangster out in the desert. But that's the greatness of Avram. Adam, I'm with you.
Where was Yitzchak? I mean, he just lost his mom, so he was doing what exactly?
That deserves a separate discussion. There are different understandings. You could look at the Rishonim on the Pasuk, V'Yitzchak Bami Bo Be'er L'Chai Ro'i. When Yitzchak went out and met Rivka, that's one place where the commentaries discuss it. And the other place that the commentaries discuss it is at the end of the Aliyah, where it says, V'Yinachem Yitzchak Achei Imo. That after Yitzchak married Rivka, then he was comforted after his mother. So those are the two places where the commentaries discuss it. There are different answers. But if you want, we could look it up together. Maybe tomorrow night. Shal yedei ze uchas v'shalom b'vchinat tohe al ma'asim tovim sha'asa. If the Satan, would God forbid, succeed in getting a person to have second thoughts, then we know that even after a person has done something positive, if he regrets it, then God can wipe away the merits that he gained. והתורה מלמדת לנו שגם זהו מתחבלות היצר. So here, the Torah and Chayei Sarah is teaching us that this too is one of the tricks of the Yetzer. וכמו שרצה להכשיל את אברהם אבינו במחשבות מסוג זה, just as he tried to get Avram to fall with thoughts like these. ואברהם אבינו עמד בכל חלקי הניסיונות מלפנינו מאחרינו. אברהם אבינו stood up to all aspects of the test. Those that preceded the challenge, those that came after the challenge, שכל זה מלמד את יהודי הדרך להתגבר על כל ניסיונות חייו. All of this teaches every individual, every Jew, how to overcome the challenges of his own life. And נתיבות שלום concludes, he says, ויש לבאר בזה מה דכתיב, and based on this we could explain what it says in Tehillim, מציל אני מחזק ממנו, ואני ואביון מגוזלו. The passage says, God saves the poor from he who is stronger than him, God saves the poor and impoverished from he who comes to steal from him. And Chazal tell us, En ani ela bedat, the Talmud says in Nedarim, you want to know who's impoverished? Someone who lacks knowledge. There is no poverty like poverty of knowledge. En ani ela bedat. V'akadosh Baruch Hu matzil ani mechazak mimenu. God saves the impoverished, it means the impoverished of knowledge, from he who is stronger than him, mehayetzer hara mitgaber alav. From the Yitzhar that tries to overcome him. שמציל אותו שיוכל לעמוד בניסיון להתגבר על תאוותו. God saves him that he could stand up to the challenge and overcome his desires. Chazal tell us, every morning we wake up, the Yitzhar is standing there stronger than we are. But the second we want to do good, Hashem helps us out. It's Hashem's help, because really the Yitzhar is stronger. So Hashem is מצילני. Hashem rescues the poor from he who is stronger than him. ואני ואביון מגוזלו, after the person has overcome the challenge, then he reaches the point that someone tries to steal the rights from him. That's the Yetzer Hara that comes after the challenge. Perush, שאחר שכבר עמד בניסיון והתגבר על תאוותו, meaning after a person already stood up to the test, he overcame his desire, זומם היצר הרע לגזול ממנו מה שעשי כבר. Then the Yetzer Hara tries to take away from him what he's accomplished by causing him to regret it. והקדוש ברוך הוא, and what Avraham Melech said is, מציל אני ואביון מגוזלו, God saves the poor and impoverished from he who tries to steal it from him. Me'asatan ma'achareinu, that's a reference to the Satan that comes lurking behind us. Shelo yigzol mimenu hatov she'asa. That the Satan will not be successful in stealing from him the good which he has accomplished. Shabbat shalom. Yeah.
have trouble with the concept that, like, it seems that you were, that what it was saying was, like, it's possible to cause a person's death at a time when Hashem didn't will it. I mean, like, you specifically point out that Hashem had to appoint Sarah to die at that time. Well, isn't that, like, a given? Because when else is a person going to die except for Hashem will it? The problem is whether you think it's attributed to you or to another factor. That would be the...
This is a long conversation. But yes, a person has the set time when they should die, and the person can also die before that time. When a person is born, there is a set time. Sarah should have lived till 180. When Sarah said to Avram, Ishpot Hashem b'niu v'necha, God should judge between me and you, her days were shortened to 127. A person can shorten their life. And when they were shortened to this point, after the Akedah. The Akedah wasn't the cause was Sarah saying, God should judge between the two of us. A person has an allotted time on the earth, and that could be a certain number of years, and then a person has control over that. If a person wants to jump off the cliff at age 14, he might have lived till 90, but he jumped off the cliff.
Right.
If a person chooses to speed on the highway, not to put a safety belt, a person chooses to do any one of the actions that could endanger their life, they could shorten their life.
That's an individual's decision, not someone else.
Oh, not necessarily. That deserves its own discussion. I mean, if a person pulls a trigger at someone else, so that's its own discussion how that works. Sometimes one can endanger someone else's life. Why was David running away from Saul? If David was meant to die, he would die. If he was meant to live, he would live.
Yeah, but he had to try.
Oh, so sometimes it depends on how hard we try. How hard we try to live. Meaning technically one being cannot touch another being even a hair's width, the Talmud says. But on the other hand, that's provided that the other being does his maximum. There is an area where we could affect one another. If David would not have tried his best to run away from Saul, he would have died. It was up to David to try his best. So long as he tried his best, he stayed alive. Had he not tried his best, even though he should have lived to the ripe old age of 70, he would have died earlier. So Saul could have affected David if David didn't do his best.
How could this apply to Sarah? Sarah wasn't running away from death. It was supposedly something that was sent to her.
Here I have to give my own interpretation. I'm not sure it's worth anything. So you think about it.
Okay.
Okay? Think about it. If you're still stuck, I could tell you what I think.